T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Are you ready?
It's Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Way to put it together, Boston. Feeling good about yourself today.
What I tell y'all, dude? I told y'all.
You do realize, Boston, congrats, you're going to get rolled. Everybody looks good at home. What about LeBron?
I have my moments, but I think everybody at this point is tired.
I found out why LeBron was tired.
Why was he tired?
Them 70s had his foot on his neck.
I'm not going to lose sleep over it.
Stop it, America.
With Glenn, Lou, and Christian.
I am not going to make it.
No, you're not making it.
I'm not going to make it. Not. I'm telling you right
take
now.
Take Friday off. Why don't you take Friday off?
I think Paul's taking. Paul, aren't you taking Friday off?
It's not great. He just said that it happened to him.
Paul's off tomorrow, so we have Lucy tomorrow. And who? Lucy and Ryan?
That's correct.
Are you ready for summer?
Woo!
Are you ready for
let's
summer?
Go!
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
We're getting your reaction at 617-779-7937. Your reaction on Hanley Ramirez, designated for assignment. See you, Hanley. It was nice knowing you. Alex Speer obviously was on top of this because he seemed to break the story from his sources. He also seemed to have an incredible piece that goes about 4 or 5 pages long, and he released it about
It was announced.
7 minutes.
That's weird how that works.
After he broke it. But he brings up some interesting points here, and he's talking about this last month and how bad it's been for Hanley. So starting on May the 1st, where he was 0-for-6, and if you continue on right through the whole month, we're looking at a 163 batting average, 200 on-base percentage, 300 OPS line this month, while seeing his ground ball rate soar, 59% of the balls in play in May. So for the season, he's 254, 313, and 395. But what he did, because he's one of these geeks that knows all these sabermetrics.
Being polite.
Yeah. He breaks down what he is over the last 2 years. So over a 2-season period, beginning with last season, Ramirez ranks in the bottom 5 among big league first basemen in wins above replacement, calculated by Fangraphs. And over a significant period of time, he's been a below-average player. Then he gives his defensive metrics, and he's got a negative defensive value
as
a first baseman. Yep.
First baseman.
Yep. Huh. Yeah. And Moreland, on the other hand, has a real positive one. So he's kind of looking at he's better than Moreland now when you play him at first base. And he also looks at Swihart with the upside that the Red Sox have been unable to explore, but apparently are intrigued by the bat.
That's what this move. There's a difference between understanding why they would do it and liking it.
It's easy for you to understand, obviously. Don't like it.
Okay, I understand. $22 million, but I don't know. I just don't like it.
See, I don't think,
they're saving, so they're going to save. Well, they got to pay him the $15 million this year.
Pay him.
I would imagine.
But it's next year they don't. That money goes to Martinez. So that, and let's face it, they've spent so much money here over the last couple of years. You have to be looking at the books. I know people are sitting there saying, I don't care what they spent. They have to, because now when you're dealing with luxury tax stuff, it has ramifications, and they need help in this team. This team's not good enough to win. You already talked about the bullpen. They've got starters sitting in the bullpen.
3 of them.
Right. They don't have enough right now.
They got 3 starters in their bullpen.
Right. That's a real problem.
Jesus.
And no place for the starters to go. It's not like they can suddenly move. You're waiting for somebody to get injured. I don't know about you. I thought that was Porcello's problem in the first 2 innings last night. Because he had no location. I thought so.
Well, maybe he has. Maybe he has carpal tunnel. He's got a blister.
I mean, he looked like he had no location whatsoever. Curveball was kind of all over the place.
Yeah, his location was off.
Yeah.
A little bit. He looked good in his last outing. That outing, he had nothing. But, I mean, it was, if you go back, a lot of the hits that they had, you can go back and just in the highlights, and you'll notice that some of them weren't that bad of a pitch. Just within that batch, he couldn't find it. And defensively, there was some, 3 or 4 infield swinging bunts. And
yeah.
Defensively, they played like crap.
Yeah, Nunez gave up another run. But getting back to Hanley, I don't think it was ever a question of the Red Sox picking up the $22 million next year. And at some point during the course of the season, they were going to have to find a way of slowing down his plate appearances. And this was a perfect opportunity to slow it down. Now, you brought up the possibility that maybe they had a conversation with him. It could have happened last night, in which they basically told him that. And he got pissed. I think that's a possibility. Always, you know, always something like that happens. I don't think they ever thought he was going to do it, but I think there's a second part to this where I think you look at the trade and say, or the deal and say, there's still some moment during the course of the season where Hanley's going to have big moments. I'm not sure they buy into that, Lou. I think they question whether he's got it anymore.
Well, do me a favor.
What?
Number five. Okay, because Lou and I are looking at this, and we don't know if Mark from Chelmsford is, I guess, upset at Lou for giving him too much slack, okay, too much rope, or giving him too much, okay, you know, criticism.
Even against better advice, I'm going to go with
your
phone call.
This is a joint thing. This is a joint decision. Sorry, you've been outnumbered.
Admit it. When you go to phone calls and you request phone calls.
It's kind of my thing.
No, it's not your thing. Calls? It's on purpose? It's on purpose.
Go ahead. Take them. Let's see. I'm going to say he's going to be good.
Where's Mark calling from? Christian, where's Mark calling from? Nope. Chelmsford.
Oh, Lord.
The L silent.
Wooster.
Mark will tell you. Go ahead, Mark.
Glenn, it's Chelmsford.
Lou, you've been giving JBJ way too much slack for a few weeks now. You're kind of talking about him in terms
too
of
much
a bad
grief?
Start or a slump and how they can get him right. Why don't we look at the big picture to see what's real and what's right?
Okay.
Forget about this year, the 174. He's, you know, striked out 30% of the time. Since the All-Star break last year, he's 192. We're talking almost 400 at-bats. Since the start of last year, he's 228. Big picture, this guy's been sniffing around the big league since 2013, almost 2,000 at-bats. He's 28 years old. Guys talk about him like he's a young guy. He's a 234 career hitter. He gets one hit, and we got to read articles in the Globe about how he's getting right.
He's right.
I mean, even
Mark's
guys
right.
Who hit 200 get one hit every five at-bats. You never talk about the big picture with this guy.
So I wanted to trade him for Abreu in the offseason.
They should have traded him at the end.
Well, I'm just saying, I wanted to trade him for Abreu in the offseason. People told me I was stupid, and the Sox would have lost on that deal.
Season, put Benintendi in center.
I could talk.
Well, hold on a second. So is it slack or flack?
I don't know.
Slack. You've given him too much slack.
Does that mean I'm giving him too much of a rope?
Yes. Okay. You're always talking about him in the last few weeks, and we'll get him right.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, okay.
But you know what
I don't know if...
Mark, I just don't think... Listen, there's a lot of potential there. We all know that. But last week, I wanted to send him to AAA.
Do whatever, but do you...
Okay,
really
I'm just saying, I want to demote him off a big league roster and send him to AAA. Does that sound like someone that is giving him too much slack?
Great. That's good. But you haven't been saying that the last few weeks.
I've been saying for the last week, I've been saying send his ass down for 2-3 weeks, a month, and figure it out.
We were just saying how much slack you give him.
Unlike you, Mark, I think Lou feels there's still some hope here. There's still some upside. I'm with you. I think we've had a large enough sample here. There's been 2 months of great hitting. The rest of it has sucked. It's been
I think the beginning of this last series was almost like a do or die for him. It was one of those situations where it's like, you've got to figure it out. And once we realized he did have an option, it's like, that's the only recourse.
I told you before that he's stubborn. That I don't think he listens to his pitching, hitting coaches. I think he's got it all figured out. And he's been in the league now. I'll give him, this is 3 years in my mind of an everyday player. And he still doesn't know how to get out of a slump. That's extremely frustrating. And someone's been in the league this long should know. You should be your own hitting coach. He doesn't know that right now, and it's frustrating. It's because he's stubborn, and no matter how bad he goes, he always thinks he's doing just fine, and he's not.
I think
would have optioned his ass down to AAA and have him find it.
So you got a new manager and new coaches, and you said this earlier, Lou, so they're going to give him a fresh start. But guess what? They're going to come to the same conclusion that the last group came with, the last administration, and they're finally going to realize it's not worth it.
But see,
I think he gets dealt.
That's important to remember, because we've been here now. We've seen all these guys for 4 or 5 years. So the Hanley Ramirez stuff, I'm saying, yeah, but last year I was tired of him. I don't forget year one when he was here and he played left field and he quit the team. Alex Cora, Tim Hyers, these guys, they've only seen him for couple of months. You know, and they think they can get him right. And they obviously thought they were getting him right in April. And with Jackie Bradley, they've only caught this inconsistent act. Well, actually, it's been consistent. He hasn't been good for them. But I mean, we don't go. You can't go on, you know, what we as fans have seen the last 2 or 3 years. Because if I'm Alex Cora, I'm like, I understand that's history, but that's exactly what it is. We're dealing with the now. I'm getting my first looks at these guys for 2.5, 3 months. So that you got to keep that in the back of your mind as well. And he's struggling right now.
Listen, you fall in love with his glove, and people sit there and say, oh, my God, I've never seen a guy make a play like that. That's incredible. And then you forget, especially right now when you've got a black hole behind the plate in that batting order, you can't have a second one. You can't do that. You can't have it. Here's a Brock in Middleboro. Hi, Brock.
How's it going?
Good.
So with Pedroia in and Hanley out, I'm hoping the Sox kind of jumble up a few other things, because the longer they sit on Swihart, the worse it's going to be. I think it's time to get rid of Bradley, look to get rid of Leon, and start working Blake behind the dish, because Nunez will be able to bounce around, and you'll be able to have Devers, JD, Swihart. You'll have a lot of options.
Can we take baby steps and start with Blake Swihart as a designated hitter? Because we already know that he can hit. Now what we need to know is, can he do it on the major league level when he's getting 4 or 5 at-bats on consecutive days? When you want to push him behind the plate, I'm not sure he's ready for that, or he would get that opportunity right now. You've got two of the worst hitting catchers in the major leagues, and they're not giving him that opportunity. Why do you suddenly think he's going to get that opportunity?
I just think it's time. I think the longer they wait, I mean, wait another month and then put him behind the dish? Is he going to be in a better
spot? I don't think he can catch. And I don't think they trust him with pitching with that pitching staff.
Yeah, Brock, and here's the thing. Like, we as fans, let's put him back there. Let's see what he can do. We act like they're saying the same thing.
They know.
Hey, you know what? Why don't we try catching Brock? Blake, rather. Let's see what he can do. You don't think that they've seen
Brock might be
what
better.
He can do? And how many bullpens do you think he caught in spring training? How many innings behind the dish did he catch? How many bullpens is he catching right now? You don't think
probably
they already think?
Enough.
Well, maybe they to them it was more than enough.
Brock, they know. Did you hear Alex Cora last week with the guys in the afternoon with Dale and Keefe? I mean, it was pretty obvious that they believe he's a catcher. Okay, they still believe he's a catcher. I think they have to say that because he has more value for a guy who can hit. He doesn't have to be a great catcher. Teams, you know, he has more value in the trade market. On the other hand, when he asked him if he was going to get an opportunity with two of the worst hitting catchers in major leagues, nah.
Now, well, listen, it's even funny because
we got another wrinkle in this whole thing.
Oh, good. I like wrinkles.
Because Alex Speer tweeted about it. He updated his article. Drellick wrote it as well. By releasing Hanley Ramirez, they would owe his money for the rest of this year, and the option is gone, and it's also gone for the team that trades for him.
Oh.
It's gone. So now that changes a lot.
Sure does.
So now it does. So now you trade him. You know, because there's no longer a threat of another team saying, we'll pick this guy up. Apparently the vesting option is gone.
Disappears. Okay.
It's gone. That's part of the deal. Once you're traded, that vesting option is gone.
Yeah. So new team that signs him.
Oh, that's why they get rid of him, guy. I mean, now it's obvious.
Well, actually, no, hold on. This is all confusing because Alex Speer had something different. Because, I mean, you know, Drellick says if they release him, it's gone, which obviously, right? But I'm not so sure about the vesting thing. I got to look into this. I don't know. These guys, conflicting reports.
Okay, so never
dueling
mind.
Because
that would change, to me, that would change everything.
Hey, Ryan, can we do what they do on the morning show where they just bleep out like a minute of the programming? Can we get that last minute just kind of push
the
button?
Yeah, press the dump button. Dump the button. Yeah,
we're going to sound really smart here in 1 minute, guys.
We're going to figure it out. All right, we'll figure it out. We'll get to the bottom.
Lucy. Let's give Lucy that job.
Assignment,
Lucy.
I could have dumped it.
Yeah, just release him. Dump that.
So it's too late now.
So nothing has changed.
Okay.
Said before, if they release him,
go back to your original thought.
All right. The tweets confused me. If they release him, there's no option. If they trade for him, there's an option. Therefore, you're not going to trade for the guy.
And we're the show with the baseball guy.
Yeah, you're not going to trade.
We're the show with the baseball
guy. Oh, I can do the baseball. I just can't read.
Scott's in Maine. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I'm not doing good.
No? What's your problem there, bud?
Jesus.
You know, it's that feeling. It's not as bad as Nomar, but it's that feeling. It's like, I was telling the girl on the phone, I said, one of two things are going to happen.
Girl on the
phone. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be in a great mood because They're gonna trade JBJ and some minor leaguers to Baltimore. Machado's gonna be at third. Devers is gonna be at first. He's not gonna boot balls into the outfield anymore.
Machado's coming here.
Or worst case scenario, because I'm a Boston sports fan, Mookie Betts or JD Martinez goes down with a season-ending injury tonight. So that'll probably happen because welcome to Boston. That's what happens.
Yeah, life has really sucked here for the last 20 years. You're right. In sports, been awful. It's terrible.
Yeah, another crappy experience for your Boston fans as you watch the Celtics in the NBA Finals.
We're the Cleveland of the East Coast.
Fan, unless you can win, you know, you win 9 out of 10 years, and that 10th year, you're pissed off.
Oh, turn that song off. I hate that song.
I know.
I actually hate the song. There's no. Go ahead. Sorry, Scott. Let's see if you can talk. Or give me your thought again with this music playing in the background. Tell me you don't get irritated. Go ahead, Ryan. Turn it up a little bit. Go ahead, Scott.
Scott, go ahead.
Oh, no, seeing this.
What do you think of that? What do you think of the Handley deal today? What do you think of that, Scott?
I'm not impressed. I don't. He must have done something to piss somebody off behind doors. I don't know if he's pulling a baby and just scheme up. He's not happy.
Reaching out.
Trying to get out of the team like you.
Don't know that part. Touching you.
Ready? Hey, Scott, here's your part. Ready?
On your own.
Sweet Caroline. This song. Ba, ba, ba.
Here, go ahead.
I hate it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
JBJ. Yeah. And are you still talking? I don't know. From Machado.
Jermaine.
Machado. It's Machado.
Yeah, sure.
Machado. Machado.
JBJ and just some minor leaguer.
Isn't that hat with a lot of like flowers?
Sweet Caroline. They can have Sweet Caroline, too, because they're going to think of it.
All right, Scotty. Thanks, Scott. You have a terrific holiday weekend here,
buddy. Number one prospect just said Tommy John. The number two prospect got banged 80 games for PEDs.
Okay, so we just took...
They can't trade for took a lead anyone any something. Good.
Yeah, I didn't know what was going on. Hey, Town Fair Tire presents On a Roll. Rookie sensation Jason Tatum continues to lead Boston in scoring this postseason. Tatum's highlight reel performance in Wednesday's Game 5 win featured 24 points, 4 big steals. Look at big is underlined. Big.
Is it bold?
Big steals. On a Roll brought to you by Town Fair Tire for the best prices on tires. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Lou is rocking Twitter before, during, and after the show at Lou Merlone. We're back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
If there's one teammate that you would like to see put on the catcher's gear so you can laugh at, who would that be?
I'd go with Pedroia. Could be the, yeah.
That's a small strike zone.
Right? literally strike zone right there. Oh. I love you, Petey.
God, all that comedy's gone. All that comedy's gone.
It's gone.
So Handley was in catcher's gear the other day in the dugout, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Pink.
No. Okay.
You're going to miss it. What? It's going to be gone. Who's going to take the spot? Who's going to be the class clown?
Pedroia will be.
No. Oh, Mr. Serious? I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. Mr. Serious? Mr. Man, I'm so serious at my job. Talk to me. What's he going to... His return is going to do what?
It's going to defensively shore up second.
I know, but forget about, I mean, as far as exactly what he's going to do as far as the job, but just, you know, internally, what's that going to look like?
He'll be fine. What are you worried about? I don't think he's a problem. I know a lot of people feel that he's not a problem on that team.
You think it's a Machado thing all over again?
No, I'm just curious. I mean,
he made a mistake last year in Baltimore. There's no question about it. Whether he's on a plane with Price, who knows? His relationship with Farrell wasn't good. So he had a problem last year, but I don't think he's a problem on that team.
I actually think he might be better coming back and that he's been away from it. He was talking about this a few weeks ago, that this rehab stuff is killing him because he's away from the game and he never, you know, and he's done some... Do you think Kyrie Irving likes watching games on the sideline?
No,
he's done some short stints before, but maybe you have a better appreciation for it when you're away, especially at this point in his career when he's getting up there in age and you're sitting there going... How many more times is this going to happen to me? You know, you're eventually going to get to the point where you get one of those injuries, and you're saying
he just fell into the whole miserable year last year. I tell you, it was worse than people wanted to say. You know, in that locker room, I think he was a guy that was injured. He was playing hurt. He wasn't having much fun. Tired of the manager. Tired of everything. He made mistakes. But I
be no, hard, I would it be hard, 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 hard no. Hard
I was speaking of myself.
Yes, you were speaking of yourself. By the way, have you ever been invited by a prince to
by a prince?
Country? Yes.
A real prince?
Well, not the prince, you know, but a prince, yes.
No, why?
Well, because, you know, I know Tom Brady said this was all about family. So is the whole family going to meet with the prince, or is he just going out?
Is it family?
This is the work part of the pie.
This was the work part of the pie.
Yeah. You got travel internationally.
And then he's promoting something for DreamWorks because he was kind of throwing that out there yesterday, right?
What is he like? The voice of some animated character?
I think there's some animation thing that's being done.
Or is he in The Incredibles 2? Is that what he is? Ooh. Maybe he's a superhero that throws like laser beams as a weapon.
That's a good point.
I'm talking about it.
He's really slow. But he has a laser for an arm.
So family trip. Spent some time.
Yeah, talking about family, our buddy Kevin Youkilis was in town last night.
Yeah.
As he's being family. Inducted into the Hall of Fame, the Red Sox Hall of Fame. And he's family. Of course, he's married to Brady's sister.
You guys still find that strange that Kevin Youkilis and Tom Brady are brothers-in-law?
No, I do now. What are you saying?
No, I'm just saying, like, it's just weird. It's like Tom Brady's brother-in-law is Kevin Youkilis. Kevin Youkilis' brother-in-law is Tom Brady. It's just strange.
He was defending the family. I think I told you guys this at the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
That's what family does.
That's what he was. He was sitting there, and people were giving the parents
family.
A hard time or whatever. And he was sitting there. He was protecting. So he was defending the honor of the Brady crest.
People pay too much attention to whether Tom is at OTAs and all that type of stuff.
I don't even know. Like, honestly, I have no idea what's going on. Like, to be honest, in New England, it's always a topic of conversation. So, but I think everything will work out. I think Tom knows what he's doing, and he's going to get out there, and who knows? He might lead another Super Bowl. I mean, that might be an odd thing to say, right, this early.
His passion is still as strong as ever to play?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Tom is a competitor, and he's going to go out there and play as hard as he can every single time he gets out there. And he's going to be the most prepared guy out there on the field, I can tell you that much.
Good representative for the family.
I wonder what
it's like for Yuka and that family, because I've got to believe that, Lou, when you have Thanksgiving with the family, you're the best athlete that's ever come out of your family. And you, Christian, when you have Thanksgiving, it's
difficult because I come from a family of badass athletes, so it's a little more difficult.
But who is the baddest ass of them all?
Not me.
You weren't the best?
God,
you weren't
no. The best? I was last.
You were not.
I swear to God, hand to God, yeah.
No, you're making
it up. I'm not making it up at all.
How many of them played in the NFL?
It better? Doesn't matter, but I think luck had a lot to do with me because I never had a major serious injury.
You went up here.
If we were all healthy, I'll definitely run out of the
league. So here's Yuke, and Yuke was a pretty good ball player in his day.
Red Sox Hall of Famer.
After the Red Sox Hall of Fame, he's a pretty good ball player, right? And he goes home to Thanksgiving, and what can he say?
He's got to sit at the kiddie table.
Exactly.
I mean,
it's just like the greatest of all time for his sport.
Honestly, I have no idea what's going on. Like,
What do you sit there? Okay.
Doesn't he do like a radio show himself? Doesn't he do like a radio show?
No, he has a restaurant. He has a beer.
Locally?
Brand? No, yeah. San Francisco.
Yeah, that's right. No, he's got a radio show.
Hops,
I've been on his radio
like
show.
Yes, out in San Francisco.
Yeah.
I just said that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But he does a beer and he does a restaurant and beer.
I was looking at Danica Patrick.
Why?
I never was really a big fan of Danica Patrick. But
me neither.
Maybe since Aaron Rodgers started dating her, she's become more attractive. I don't know. I don't know what that is about.
Well, that's
not really sure.
Kind of sexist. So
no, it's not sexist. In other words, it's just odd.
You think like he's talking to his family
Lucy
now?
That's sexist. So
maybe he's
bringing the families together.
Maybe she's the bridge.
She dates a great athlete, and then
football player, by the way.
A football player, and you're telling me that makes her better looking?
I don't have an explanation for it. I do not have an don't involve Lucy.
I don't think it's sexist.
Hashtag me too.
It's fine.
Is that sexist? Lucy, is that sexist?
No, it's not sexist.
Okay, good.
I will say this. I asked each of you. I gave each of you a homework assignment.
Me too.
and I don't know if you've done it. I think Lou has done it.
What's that?
So I gave you guys. I like to know my enemy.
Right.
I like to know my enemy. Like, think of it, this is a chapter of like of my book. Like, know your enemy. You're not talking about the art of war, you know, and all that other stuff. But I want to know my enemy. If your kid's going to suck, you should know, you know, what he's going against. So I had them print out like maybe 3 pages of the book, The Alchemist, the book that LeBron James was reading. I thought we could
all kind of read the all three pages, okay? Because this is all I got through when I read it myself, okay? We're not going to do it now. Are we going to do it now?
No, we're not.
We're not going to do it now.
At the royal wedding?
I asked
what does that have to do with the alchemist?
Alchemist?
What the hell? Alchemist.
The biochemist.
Now batting. Alchemist.
So you're gonna after this break, you each are gonna have to find a spot, read it, and tell me what stands out to you.
I've got my.
You do. You're always a good student, always sitting in the front row.
That's it.
He is a type of guy that says, "I figured out when I get there."
I don't wait the home room.
I haven't read it. I told you I had never read this.
It was so hard for me to read these three pages.
Reading in the seventh grade?
Yes, because I feel like if you read it, there's all these messages and hidden meanings in this stuff. And there's a reason why LeBron was reading this book. There's a reason. It was also the anniversary of the book when it was released and everything else. But there was a reason. So if you can dissect these three pages and find some sort of information, I guarantee you, you could figure out what it's really like to be a Cavalier and how he really thinks, or how he thinks about himself.
Yeah, see, I'm not a big fan.
The part that I read that I have for you guys, I don't think he should be reading this book.
You don't think he should be reading it?
No.
You think it's going to psych him out for this game?
No, I just think it solidifies some things, the thoughts that... That's just typical LeBron, to be honest with you.
See, you
doesn't surprise me.
He's so self-involved. He probably thinks every character in this book is him.
Yeah.
He's the sheep. He's the boy. He's the girl. He's everybody.
Well, let's do it next.
See, you guys are into like hidden meanings and stuff that. It's like somebody talking behind your back. I don't like that.
No, that's what we do.
Talk to your face.
Athletes, here you go.
Say it to your face.
Successful athletes, we do is we search for inspiration. You know, because eventually you just get tired of being great. So you need somebody to inspire you. So, you know, we go to the books.
By the way, do you actually think that Danica Patrick is an athlete? Because What are they doing Thanksgiving together?
Right? I don't think any of those guys that are driving those cars in a circle are athletes. And I said, don't call up and fight me on this because I'm not going to do it. I already did it. We're not doing it. I'm saying, on line one.
Do you think she used
New Hampshire from line North two. Carolina? I'll tell you what, boy.
Arkansas on line three.
When she's,
Arkansas. Hey,
when she's with Aaron Rodgers, you think she uses the phrase "Go, Daddy"?
I think that would be a little. It gave it a new. I tell you what, it definitely has a new meaning. That's for sure.
I'll just leave it at that.
Me too, because in a different way, me too. So you want time to read your...
By the way, can I just tell you this? Because we were questioning this earlier, whether it was a real hammy or not. It's a real hammy.
Oh, yeah, that looks bad. For Chris Paul?
Chris Paul is already out of Game 6 tomorrow night.
Yeah, this one had a definite...
So now you root for Houston.
It had a different look to it.
You want Houston to win this, and I think they have no shot in this game tomorrow. None whatsoever. But you want them to win this in the worst way. You okay?
Just laughing. Some highlights.
When do you start drinking today? Now?
Who says I don't have any Kahlua in my coffin?
Something.
I still think you guys. I'm not even going to broach this. I'm not even going into it. Yeah, just listen. I'm going to give you. How much time do we have in this break?
I'm ready.
3 minutes.
Time do we have this break?
3:45. Yeah. Do you have enough time?
What's that?
You're a fast reader, right? You're one of those guys that can focus. I can't focus.
I cannot. This
did not keep my attention at all.
Okay. Like anything else in life.
It's true.
Okay.
I'll tell you why this book sucks.
Good. Oh, good.
You're going to go first, by the way.
Christian Fourier's book review.
Book club.
Coming up next.
Experience Glenn 24/7. Follow him on Twitter right now at Glenn D. Ordway. Now back to more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Entire hour of this very program here on the Friday before a beautiful, gorgeous weekend is being brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
All right. You ready for this?
I don't know. What do you mean
you don't know?
Well, I know.
You're going to go first. Okay, you're going to go first.
So you want to read this stupid book?
No, I don't want you to read the whole thing. This is The Alchemist. This is the book that LeBron James was, reading on the side inside before, Game 5,
Hold on. We think he was reading.
I don't think he was. Well, actually, you know what? I know he had no pictures.
Okay.
No pictures. So you go first. Just pick a paragraph. Don't go nuts.
All right, let me start.
Okay.
I'm going to be
You want some music with you?
Well, if you'd like some music.
There you go.
We can do some music.
All right, good.
So unlike you that picked a selection from the book that actually would have some underlying meaning, I'm going to start at the beginning because it's just easier stuff. This is page one. Okay. The boy's name was Santiago.
They're talking to me. This is LeBron. He's reading it.
They're talking to me.
Dusk was falling.
I'm Santiago.
As the boy arrived with his herd at an abandoned church.
See?
The roof had fallen in long ago, and an enormous sycamore. The sycamore.
See, that's
had grown on the spot where the sacristy had once stood. Like a church? Mm-hmm. Know what that is? Okay. He decided to spend the night there. He saw to it that all of the sheep entered through the ruined gate. Yeah, there's Windhurst. There's the rest of the media. They're all here. And then he laid some planks across it to prevent the flock, okay, from wandering away during the night like JR in a road game. Mm-hmm. There were no wolves in the region. No, they had been eliminated in the Western Conference earlier.
There you go.
But once an animal had strayed during the night, and the boy had to spend the entire next day searching for it.
Those are called points.
Exactly. Points. He swept the floor with his jacket and lay down using the book he had just finished reading as a pillow. Well, why wouldn't he just use a MyPillow? It's far more comfortable.
Actually, that's a great idea.
Damn book. Yeah. He told himself that he would have to start reading thicker books. Of course, because the media, when you see thicker books, you say, he's really smart, right? They last longer, and they made more comfortable pillows. It was still dark when he awoke, and looking up, he could see the stars through the half-destroyed roof. You have any idea what the meaning is?
Of course, he takes like five paragraphs.
Yeah, I know. He reads like, can't stop.
Well, I didn't
take one thing.
The more paragraphs he reads, the more he can speak.
Well, this is your thing.
Christian, what do you got? Because I got the one.
I got to go. So there's always a theme there.
I know why he reads this book.
Okay, there's already a theme there, right? And it's like, you know, he's Santiago, the sheep are the rest of the team. There's lots of meaning in all these things. I'm just going to read one paragraph. Because it talks about, you know, traveling to this village and blah, 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 wanting to see this girl. And he talks about how he's like 4 days away and blah. There's all these other girls, but this was the one. Then it ends with this. The day was dawning, and the shepherd urged his sheep in the direction of the sun. They never have to make any decisions, he thought. Maybe that's why they always stay so close to me. See, to me, again, he's Santiago. His teammates never have to make any decisions. They're not forced with the burden of being the shepherd. They're just sheep. They follow what the shepherd tells them to do. They want to go this way. They want to go that way. It doesn't matter what it is. I'm Santiago. I am your leader. You must follow me. Huh? You like that?
I like it.
Yeah,
I like
that's not
it.
Bad, eh?
But this
like yours.
I like it when they're playing at
this,
home.
This one paragraph, not five, Ordway. This one paragraph I'm going to read.
I didn't know.
This, I was just doing what I was told.
This, page. To me, defines LeBron James, what he looks at himself, how he looks at his teammates.
All right, good.
He says, if I became a monster today and decided to kill them one by one.
Kill who? His teammates?
They would become aware only after most of the flock had already been slaughtered. They trust me. They've forgotten how to rely on their own instincts because I lead them to nourishment. So he's like, you know, these guys, they can't even think on their own. They trust me so much, and it's all about me.
It all makes sense to him. He's Santiago.
This is the book he's reading.
Yes.
So he's just deepening his own beliefs.
It makes me irritated even more.
That these guys can't think on their own.
There's
none of them. It's just me. I lead them to know.
You can't read three pages of this book and miss it. Because he thinks he's living this life. He thinks that this book was written about him.
He could have written that paragraph.
We just got to change. You know what?
Quote that
LeBron,
paragraph.
I can't use basketball as a metaphor, you know, because you don't know it's you. So I got to use, you're going to be a shepherd. Well, I can't be from the United States. Well, how about Spain?
Against all odds. Against all odds.
I mean, even to the point where he talks about wandering and finding new places and all this other stuff. I mean, he probably drew so much inspiration from this book. Or maybe he didn't. Maybe he just realized that, you know it. It's just the part of being me.
Ever since I picked up a basketball at age 9, I've competed every single time.
I think you guys are looking far too deep into this. I think
it's really simple.
I think he just wanted to have a book in his hands. And so the people
he picked
were looking
the wrong
at him
one.
He's more than just a basketball player.
But after that paragraph I just read you about him, you know, they trust him. They wouldn't even, if he killed them one by one, they wouldn't even notice until he killed the whole flock.
Yeah.
Because they've trusted me. They've forgotten how to rely on their own instincts because I lead them to nourishment. He's reading this before a game. But what that he is, has to
yeah.
do.
That is reading, exactly it. No, you
because J.R. Smith too much can't, into it. Can't think on his own.
You can't,
he has
exactly.
no instincts. Culver's got no instincts. If it's just, it's got, it's me.
And even go to game two where his own teammates were saying, you know what, LeBron's got to be legendary. He's got to be great. That's what Sheep would say.
We're making LeBron play hero ball.
Yeah, that's what Sheep would say. They would say, you know what, we can't think for ourselves. You know what? And we can't win on our own because the Wolves are after us. We're just going to wait for him to do it. To me, you say that's an easy read. Read the Giving Tree and get the same amount of, something out of it.
Boring.
It's so boring. If you see somebody reading this on vacation, they need to be slapped around. Like get like a Nancy Drew book instead of this.
Well, it's game six. He'll have a totally different book.
You have a different book?
Different book.
No, he's got to stick with this book. No, this book's about him.
I'll tell you
what. He's Santiago.
You bring up a good point. He might have the same book because we know that he had to do so much preparation for game five and then for game six.
If we're going to give roles of the Godfather, okay, who do you think he thinks he is in the movie The Godfather? Who do you think he is?
Well, he's Don Corleone.
Yeah, of course he is.
Vito.
Who dies in the end?
The father, the big dog.
Yeah, the big dog.
His version.
He probably thinks he's Michael.
His version. He lives.
Doesn't die of a heart attack.
No, he goes through the tomato plants and he eats them all.
Yeah,
and he lives.
Oh, he survives.
Ask me about my
affairs. Doesn't put the orange in his mouth. Jason goes, I'm a monster. They should do a movie on that kid. And see, that kid who saw his grandfather like die being a monster eating oranges, bet you that kid never ate an orange again in his life.
You can act like a man.
I love that quote. I love that quote.
I'm telling you, just some of the stuff I read, that everybody is already chalking it up. And I am as well, by the way, a Cleveland win tonight. Okay? I'm chalking it up as well. What if the Celtics win this game tonight?
Beautiful.
What if they win this game? Because you know
something? Why is it so far-fetched to think that they can't win? I don't think it is.
It is far-fetched.
No, not after seeing what could possibly, realizing what could happen in game seven. Because you're not dumb. You're looking at it, but they're young and they think they can accomplish anything. And home court, they've been great at home. That's got a shelf life. And if anything, I'm exerting as much energy as possible. I'm all in from beginning to end to close this out.
I would just like to see progress from this basketball team.
A close game.
I'm just saying, like, early on, you know, you look at that Milwaukee series, and it's like, this is a first experience of big roles, you know, for a lot of you in a playoff. So to go on the road, just experience, first game, it's going to be just the experience, just to see what it's like, right? And then they went out, and they actually pulled one out of Philadelphia, although I think that was more of Brad Stevens, but still, they went out there, and they got the job done. They executed, did what they had to do. And I would like to think that there's, like, a building process. You know, game three, you got too cocky. You guys, for some reason, actually thought that you guys were really, really good. Like, so good, you could just roll the balls out in the road and beat LeBron. And they got waxed. Game four was a different story. I know the first quarter was awful, but I think they started to figure things out. To me, they just lost. They had no poise. They lost all their composure. You know, when they had a chance to cut things, and they got it down to 7 or 8 a bunch of times, they lost their ever-loving mind. And I like to think that there's just a building block. I like to think that this is an effort tonight. Yeah, this is a close game that comes down the last 2 or 3 minutes. Maybe LeBron takes over. Maybe not. Maybe he cramps up. Maybe he realizes the Celtics punched back and his teammates aren't good enough to win this game. I don't know.
That certainly would show progress if they could do that. Yet,
as much as I wave the white flag and throw my hands in the air and say home and away, fine, I'd still like to believe the Patriots Celtics can figure this out.
Okay, so what do you think is more likely? That scenario?
They lose by 30.
That they get off to a slow start and they sit there and they throw the towel in. And you know what they say? We got them Sunday night.
That's
yeah, but I would say
yes.
I don't necessarily agree with that because the most important thing in this game tonight, that's, again, I'm not watching it anyway, so it doesn't matter. Just tell me how it goes. How they play as far as are they getting blown out in the first quarter? Are they keeping it within 6-8 at halftime? Are they staying in striking distance? To me, because if you at what point in time do you realize you're out of it and you do take that mindset? Well, you know, we got them at home on Sunday. Let's conserve our energy. You know,
and who's the
white flag player on the Celtics, like the Cavs? Who's that guy? When that guy goes in, you know they're done.
Nader. Snyder.
Yeah, I mean, if it's close, they're all in.
It's the first quarter, unfortunately. Will they have a chance? Will they keep it within 6, 5, 7, 4? Or will they be down 16 again at half at the first quarter?
Well, if you're looking at the how the script has gone so far, my guess is they're going to be down early in the first quarter. The home team usually, you know, gets off to an early, you know, really good start. That's been the trend here. Why do we suddenly think it's going
to
change? That's why
I'm
saying
they need to be real careful with this. I mean, honestly, like, you can't let it go to seven. You can't. Act like this is it. Act like game six is the end. You can't let it go because are you guys the guys that say, oh, game seven is all about LeBron James? God forbid you get into a game seven and now he's going to decide to take over from beginning to end. And now on the road, he's going to play defense from beginning to end.
Well, Christian, we said this at the beginning of the series. Which team is more likely to win one of the road games? And we all said Cleveland because of one player. He could play a game for the ages. I'm not sure the Celtics have one of those players. As good as Tatum has been, I'm not sure he's one of those guys that can take over the entire game. So, yeah, they're more likely to do it, so you don't want to get into that situation. But I don't know if this young team, we may be asking far too much of them to go into Cleveland against one of the greatest players to ever play the game, who's got a lot on the line tonight. There's a lot to his image, and we know, as we've just pointed out here, everything is image to him. There's a lot on the line for him.
Western Conference is going to seven. Chris Paul's not playing. Yes. Golden State's
no
at
question.
Home.
Coming
they
back
win
back
that
no
game. It's tied up.
Yeah.
They go back
don't,
in
don't blow
and
out.
They lose at home if Chris Paul is not playing. Another asset.
But imagine
if you're the South, you could hang out and watch.
I'll tell you what.
You don't even have to play on Sunday.
If
Chris Paul,
as crazy as this sounds, if the Celtics win this thing, and I think they can win it in Game 7 Sunday night, they get to the NBA Finals, and Golden State ends up getting beat by Houston. Let's say that Houston just goes crazy, okay? And they end up winning the Western Conference because they do get Game 7 on their home floor. And you get a Boston-Houston final, and there's no Chris Paul? How do you feel about
that? Well, that's when you talk about the Celtics winning this. You know, do they have a chance in the finals? And I think realistically, you know, I know some people feel like, you know, they can compete with Houston. I think they can, maybe.
But with no Chris Paul.
But do they have a shot? There's got to be a major injury.
They just
got one. You know, Chris Paul's hamstring. He's out for game six. How much is he going to be available? I mean, if it's a serious hamstring, it's not something you just sit for a day or two. You know, I mean, I know that Jaylen Brown did it, but I don't believe that was a serious hamster.
So it changes things defensively, because if you look at that game last night, Harden had nothing from the outside last night.
No, he wasn't even that good.
Chris Paul did nothing in the first half. He had 2 points, I think, in the first half, but he had a terrific second half until he gets hurt. And you're looking at it, and you're looking at that Houston team, and you're saying to yourself, wow, defensively, Celtics could do some stuff. They could throw a lot of bodies at Harden. Now you no longer have Chris Paul out there. Now that kind of changes things around, doesn't it? Ariza, other guys are going to really have to step to the plate.
I would say also
with Houston.
The Golden State resemble the Patriots as far as their dominance and what they can do and just how they never let you breathe and everything else. Houston's not quite as scary if you're a young team. They haven't really accomplished anything yet.
Well, they are, though. Chris Paul's in the lineup. They're pretty damn.
They're still on the big stage for the first time, too. Yes, they're even. They're equals at that point in time. Now, you can dissect their roster all you want, but as far as you're going against monsters, you're going against a team that has been there, done that all the time. They're mature. They're seasoned. Different look a different attack.
Well, there's no
mentally
question.
When it goes against Houston.
There's no question that Golden State. I think you have trouble winning a single game against Golden State because they get home court advantage. So you lose the first two out there. They're not going to lose out there again. They've already lost that one game. They're going to lose.
I don't know.
And then they got you in game three. You've got to win that game. You don't win that game three, you're done. And game three becomes very difficult because Golden State knows they don't want to take that trip back and forth again. They want to end this thing as quickly as they can, right? So, but Houston, it's a different story with no Chris Paul.
You got a better chance. You want them to somehow pull this out of their you-know-what and get a win, and then that series would be interesting.
Who knows? They were saying this after the game. I forget who brought it up and said, you know what, maybe you look at Chris Paul and you say, we don't even send him to game six. We sit here and just try to get him ready so he can go out and be maybe 80% in game seven when we're on the home floor. Right.
No question at all.
So if we find out Sunday morning that Chris Paul is out of that game on Monday night, same way we found out here for Saturday, then my guess is they're really hurting. That's a real problem for them.
real problem for them. And it's probably one of those that's weeks away from where he's going to be able to.
They only played seven guys last night.
Right.
That included Chris Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, Gerald
Green. Both teams have shortened
their rotation. I think only two guys coming off that bench.
Yeah.
I mean, Harden, maybe, you know, you have to get him. You like to have him off the ball. It's one of the great things about having Chris Paul.
Correct.
So is he going to be handling the ball more? So, I mean, the other guys coming into the game, Gerald Green? Or Gordon handling the ball?
Well, the one thing Gerald Green gives you is instant offense coming off the bench.
Yeah.
He will do that. You know, he'll light it up with a couple of shots. All right, 617-779-7937. We've got one more hour to go.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.